Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Whitfield Report. Before we get started with today's episode, I want to put out a little disclaimer on this episode. We will be talking to Etana Hecht, a friend of mine who has been living in Israel for a long time, about 20 years. I've known her for about 6 years. We met through some different conservative Facebook groups and other things. So I've known her for a while, and she writes a pretty substantial blog on Substack called Clown World. With that in mind, though, she is not an expert and she doesn't claim to be. I wanted to have her on the show because she herself is, an average Israeli citizen. And given what has been happening in the Middle East and specifically with the Israeli-Palestine conflict, I thought it would be prudent to have the perspective of someone who actually lives over in Israel, and we can actually speak to the day-to-day experience of the Israeli people and provide some insight that we may otherwise not have. I recorded this podcast earlier today with her. The show is audio only for this week's Monday edition. That was by her request. And she was recording at night time anyway, about 1 p.m. my time, 8 p.m. her time. So it was, it was pretty dark outside anyway. So audio only this week. And the podcast went well overall. There were a few audio issues where, because of her internet connection, I think, or either because of mine, the connection wasn't always that great. We did do our best to make sure that everything worked, properly, and I did my best to clean up the audio, the best I could in post-production. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And considering what all is going on in Israel right now, I'm not really surprised that her internet connection might be a bit, shaky at times. I'm amazed that she was able to kind of do this interview at all. I want to thank her for appearing on the podcast today and spending some time with me discussing these very complex and very nuanced issues, even though it was just 30 minutes. I do recommend that you all read her Substack and follow her on Twitter slash X, both of which I will link down below in the description of the podcast. And I will also provide a transcription of our conversation on my Substack as well. So if you guys are reading the episode transcript over there, the conversation is on record. Without further ado, here is my podcast with Etna Hecht. Thank you for supporting the show, folks, and I hope this provides some much needed insight. God bless.
Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida, bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Whitfield Report, the Monday edition, and joining me for this episode is my good friend Etna Hecht, who is actually living in Israel. She's been in Israel for most of her adult life, and I've known her probably like 5 years, now it could even be closer to six. But I've mentioned her before. She writes a pretty spectacular Substack called Clown World that you can find at is it clownworld.substack.com or
So it's okay. Either etana.substack.com, okay, cool. ETANA, yeah, or I also bought the domain of clownworldhonk.com, and that leads to my Substack.
You know, it's one of the best out there on Substack, if I can be a little biased. But Etana is also living in Israel, and given what's, been going on in the world, I just wanted to ask someone who's actually been on the ground, in Israel and knows what's going on firsthand. And we're recording this on Monday, but by the time, you guys listen to this, things, could escalate or de-escalate. I don't know, at least at this point. So, Enda, first off, welcome to the show. And, I wanted to first off ask you, what is your background? How did you end up in Israel initially? Where did you grow up? Just general detail.
So, all right. Yeah, I don't know how detailed you want, so I'll give you like a basic background. But I grew up in New Jersey in a Jewish Orthodox family, Orthodox community. Went to a Jewish day school, and Israel was just always part of the conversation just because we're Jewish. And it just, it's a huge part of our identity. So I just grew up always hearing about Israel, and I ended up here when I was 18. The first time I had been to Israel was when I was about 15, and we went on a family summer trip. I fell so deeply in love with the land and the culture and the nation and the people here that I literally begged my parents to let me stay in Israel and finish up high school by myself, and they didn't let me. But I finished up high school in New Jersey the whole time just dreaming of coming back to Israel. And then as soon as I graduated high school, I moved, and I never looked back. I've been here now 20 years. I consider myself extremely lucky because a year after I came by myself, my parents decided to join me and move the family to Israel. So I'm very, very blessed.
Wow, that's,
that moving
that's
to
awesome.
Israel didn't mean, didn't mean leaving my family.
And you're married, and
I kind of brought them with me.
I would assume you met your husband in Israel too, right?
I did. I met my husband shortly after he finished his army service. We were both really young. I was 19. He was 20.
Did you have to do the mandatory IDF service?
We got married when we were both 20.
Okay.
So I did not do IDF service. First of all, girls don't really have to. And I, as like a recent Israeli, it wasn't so much on my radar. My husband, on the other hand,
he grew up in the U.S.,
very Zionistic, and he volunteered.
Okay. Well, so that kind of leads me to my next question, because kind of the perception from just your average, I wouldn't really say American, but Westerner just in general, is that Israel is just constantly at war, and that, you guys are under tax, and, that there are just constant, like, bombings and whatnot. But what is life like in Israel generally outside of war? Is this just, like, a constant normal for you guys?
Wartime? No, nothing about what we're going through right now is normal. Nothing about it is something that we've been conditioned for as much as as much as we do deal with a lot of tension in the region, what we're experiencing now is on a scale that we can't really comprehend. We haven't really even begun to absorb or process properly. I would say life before October 7th and life after October 7th is never going to be the same. So for the first 20 years I was here, it's an incredible, incredible lifestyle here. It's an incredible country. The country is extremely family oriented. We have a very high level on the happiness index, I think. And my theory is because
Agreed.
we're so family oriented and family grounded. And I mean, in my opinion, family makes people happy. So it's just an amazing place to live. It's an amazing nation. We're very straightforward. So we can fight like cats and dogs and then drop everything to help each other, the next minute for anybody who needs. However, we face reality because we're surrounded by nations who have waged war on us ever since we were, ever since we were brought into existence as a state in 1948. So there's this kind of ebb and flow of like wartime, not wartime. So I moved here before, after any of the major wars. So since I've lived here, I've lived through wars that were not fought really within Israel. They were fought on the borders in Lebanon and Gaza. And during those war times, it was always much more tense. You always knew people who were on the front lines because mandatory IDF service means that it's just everybody's sons and brothers who are fighting and called up to defend the country. And on that note, it was just wartime is tense because you always know someone who's on the front lines. You always know that you can get a message that somebody was killed. And depending on the intensity of the war, sometimes we'd have more air raid sirens in the middle of the country, and sometimes less. But these wars would last a few weeks. We would joke that it was like, oh, it's summertime, so Hamas is going to start a war because they always started in the summertime. Yeah, and we joked like some kids, in the U.S. they have snow days, and our kids have rocket days where they're launching too many rockets for the kids to be able to go to school. So it's a pretty surreal existence. And honestly, as a nation, we like just desperately want peace so badly, that ironically our resources going towards the Iron Dome, which is the missile protection system that shields us from as many rockets as possible, that come in from the north or the south. So if
And
we spend our money and our resources
that's
towards
one of
defending our people, not trying
the
to
kind
harm
of
other people on any level.
propaganda talking points, it seems like, coming from pro Palestinian people. I don't know how much you pay attention to the US side of things here, but I have a
I'm paying very close
My best
attention to
friend
it
since
because it's
childhood
honestly
actually
terrifying
works as a congressional
what I'm
staffer
seeing.
in Washington, D.C., and he wasn't harmed, but he said it was pretty shocking when, I guess, the other day, I think it was Thursday or Friday of last week, a bunch of pro-Palestinian protesters, quote unquote, actually raided the U.S. Capitol. And people like to talk at January 6 and all that, but this was actually, a larger scale raid on the Capitol, and they were going to door to door of Congress people's office, anyone who had like a pr even like a remotely Jewish sounding name, even their offices were getting raided. So it's it is kind of interesting to see kind of the division here in the US. What do you think why do you think the division in this country is so split? Because I can tell you, and this is one of the reasons why I had you on, the general perception is that Hamas is evil, but that that Israel in some ways is just as bad because they're striking hospitals in Gaza. And I don't necessarily believe that, you know, to be the case, but I can certainly see how your average, you know, normal person, they see videos of kids on either side being killed and they think, oh, well, the Israelis are just as bad as Hamas. And you know, why do you think that is? You understand, I guess, you know, radical Islam a bit better than even I do. So, what do you think?
Okay, I first of all want to qualify my comments
Sure.
by stating that I'm weary to step out of my lane, meaning I'm not a political expert. I'm not like, I don't have any expertise in geopolitics or history or anything like that. So any comments that I make are based on my own personal
Sure.
experiences, what I've seen here, what I've experienced here, and as well as what I've seen, the trends I'm seeing take place in the media. So what you're describing is something I've been very focused on specifically over the past like few days. I can send it to you after actually. I just finished a video compilation of a couple dozen of these very aggressive rallies,
Right.
I would say, that don't do a good job of distinguishing between pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas. So I would say that the division that you're seeing there are people who have somewhat of a radicalized view of the situation and of the Palestinian narrative that can go from the media, can go from their family over here in the Middle East.
Right.
But again, and it's a narrative and a culture that doesn't really embrace Western values, and that's going to be a big problem when it comes up
Yeah.
against people who live in the West who have been living with Western values for generations. And I'm trying to pick my words very carefully
Yeah.
here because it's such a sensitive topic, and I want to also just be able to say what I mean without, getting
Yeah.
slammed. But it's
Yeah,
you
well,
know, it's there's
you know,
huge, huge culture differences,
I forgot to
and
mention this
that's going to
before
clash.
we started, but I've been permabanned off YouTube now, so you know, like I've already like I'm on Spotify and Rumble exclusively now almost, so you know, feel free to just, you know, whatever you need to say, say it. I mean, I guess one of the things that really is kind of striking to me is, you know, here in the States, we had, you know, 5 years pretty much where anyone who supported Trump, not to, you know, dive off too much into the weeds, but anyone who was even slightly to the right was labeled as a Nazi or an anti-Semite. You know, you and I met around the time when a lot of this was going on, so you understand. And you know, for sure there are some people who are anti-Semitic and whatnot, and they should be called out. But by the same token, I've noticed that there is this anti-Semitism now that is kind of coming from the Arab world, and it seems to me at least that the ADL and some of these other organizations, they call out anti-Semitism in the West. But when it comes to Arab nations doing it, they're just kind of like, eh, okay, it's just cultural differences over there. And it's just, I'm a little perplexed, honestly, as to why that is. Yeah.
As to why it is, we could go into, deep into that, but I don't think I'm qualified to. Did you read the piece that I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Constantine Kissin or something like that he put out in the Free Press today or yesterday? It was fantastic, and I'm not going to do it justice. But it's called When, shoot, I don't remember what it's called, but he basically says that on the day of October
Yeah,
7th, there are going to be a lot of liberals that
I
woke
think
up
that
as liberals
has
and went
started
to
to
sleep as
happen a
conservatives
little bit,
because their worldview has
for
been
sure,
shattered.
and that might be one of the
And
only
he.
good things to come out of this.
Right. So, in terms of why the exactly, like, I would refer to what he said, and he quotes Thomas Sowell in his piece when he says that the difference between the conservative and the progressive worldview is based on a constrained versus unconstrained view of humanity, meaning that in the progressive worldview, humanity is completely malleable. And as long as we keep trying and change the situation and this, we can eliminate poverty, we can eliminate war, we can eliminate all this. And the conservative worldview takes a more realistic and practical approach and has the approach that humanity has never changed, human nature will never change. There will always be evil in this world. And the conservative worldview figures out how to manage it instead of how to fix it. So a lot of people's, view that their unconstrained view got a very sharp smack in the face on October 7th. And hopefully some people will kind of come around to a view that this is what we're facing. So to start talking now about, we just want peace, like that's really nice. Like, of course, most normal people just want peace. The problem is you can't talk about peace when there's nobody to, when the person on the other side isn't interested in peace because they have a completely different, again, culture, a different agenda. So I'm kind of like mixing the topics here, but when you asked about why the ADL focuses on the white nationalists, like all four of them in the United States, instead of these marches of thousands and thousands of pro-Palestinian plus pro-Hamas supporters in the street. It's, I mean, they got badly
I
community
did.
noted yesterday on Twitter for exactly that. If you saw that. So I don't know. I have my own theories on why specifically less religious and secular Jews are drawn towards progressivism. But I don't think that's like that that it's the right time to go into all of that. It's more important to just realize that cultures are different, and that civil unrest that you asked about in the beginning is going to be due to a clash of cultures. And when two cultures value completely different things, those are going to contradict. I mean, we've seen already pride flags getting trampled at pro-Palestinian rallies when they're like, "What are you talking about? Like, we're minorities, you're minorities,
Well,
like we're supposed to be in this together." But
there's kind of
that's
been this
because they don't
meme
have a
going on
realistic
Twitter. I'm
understanding
sure
of
you've
who
seen
their
it,
bedfellows
but you
were.
know, there's this group of, young 20 somethings, and they're holding a sign that says "Queers for Palestine," or something like that. And it's like, well, obviously, I'm just gonna give them the most favorable, benefit of the doubt and say that they're naive and they don't understand, really history, culture at all. Because I mean, Palestine is, they're in the Muslim world, at least, and in the Middle East, is not friendly towards, gays at all, or really any minority outside of, Islam. And that's another thing I wanted to ask too, is
Islam,
generally,
basically.
like,
Yeah.
how are Muslims treated in Israel? Because like, I've actually heard that, generally, as long as you're not,
We want to live in peace with anybody who wants to live in peace with us, and it's always been like that. We have Arabs of all religions. We have Christian Arabs as well as Muslim Arabs, as well as Jewish Arabs, actually, who occupy all levels of society, including academics, professors in university, doctors, surgeons, lawyers. We have Arabs in the government. I mean, anyone who considers this an apartheid situation really has no idea what they're talking about, because I went to university. You sit right alongside Arabs in class, and
How did that
again,
narrative get
any
started,
Arab
by the
who
way?
just
Is that just
wants
one of
to live
those
in
things that has
peace,
always been
like
there,
that's
just
what we are
like,
all about.
or
Maybe we're vastly outnumbered. We are a very tiny
Yeah.
percentage of the population as Jews, and Muslims are a gigantic percentage of the population. So if popular narrative in the Muslim world is anti-Jewish and anti-Israel, and they wish that Israel would just be another Arab state, they can be very effective at spreading that narrative throughout the
Yeah.
West, as we're now seeing
It's
all over college campuses
and I think
and
too,
all over the
the other thing
leadership,
that is
honestly.
kind of it's actually good here, but a lot of these Fortune 500 companies, I don't know if you saw this, but a lot of these companies now, especially like because of what Harvard did, a lot of these companies are no longer hiring from the Ivy Leagues if you participated in these blatantly anti-Semitic rallies on college campuses, which I think is actually pretty good, considering that a lot of these schools here are basically the ones who invented cancel culture, and now they're kind of getting it flipped back onto them. Right.
Yeah, and they love to say when we were the ones getting canceled, they love to say it's not cancel culture, it's accountability. Well, you know what? I would hope that US law firms
Yeah,
back in the
no, they
1930s
did.
would refrain from hiring people who were pro-Nazi openly. And I don't see this as Yeah, exactly. So I think that it's very American to be able to hire, based on your
Yeah.
values and who you want to, who you
So
want
I don't
to
really have too
associate
many
yourself
other
with.
questions other than where do you see this how do you see this? I don't know whether the term is progressing or de-escalating, hopefully is the case. Do you see things getting better or worse? What's Yeah.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Like, we don't know. We know that any day now, things could escalate on either side of the country, either in the north or in the south. No,
Right.
we don't really know what's going to be. We hope for the destruction of Hamas because we can no longer live next to a monster that would invade our country and slaughter our people in the most brutal ways possible. I think it's important to just keep getting the message out that we're not only in a battle of good versus evil, which we absolutely are, but we're the tip of the spear of that battle all over the West.
Yeah.
And the West is so close behind us that I'm not sure that they're ready for it. Hamas is a terror organization that too many people are
Right.
confused about. Their support for it. They're either confused or they're downright evil. There's those who are downright evil, downright anti-Semitic, downright just hateful. I mean, in one of these videos that I used today in this compilation, they shouted the difference between them and
Right.
us is that they love life and we love death. We think life begins with death. That is a culture that you can't live next to because they have no interest in living. They have interest in dying, in themselves dying, in you dying, in me dying. That's all they are interested in. So, when you see people who are so pro Hamas, like understand what that means. The Israeli military just a few hours ago gave a press conference to a couple hundred foreign journalists and showed them the raw footage from the Hamas body cameras of October 7th. It's worth going to read through some of the threads of the reportings from the people who were there,
Yeah.
just to see what we're facing. Like, this war played out on our phones in front of our eyes, in live, in real time. And we have teenagers. Our teenagers are seeing scenes that they couldn't have even imagined in the worst horror movie. And you know, when I tell my kid to like, don't watch that, it's really bad. Just don't watch
Yeah,
it.
well
It's not
my
good for
well
you.
one of my
And his
neighbors
response to me is, this is our
you know
reality
who's
and we have to
older now,
understand what we're facing.
you know he's on Twitter and you know whatnot, but he said that you know this is the equivalent and in some ways worse because he grew up during the Vietnam era, and you know back during Vietnam they actually did show footage of the war you know on television and whatnot. That's one of the reasons why the Vietnam conflict got so, you know, supercharged, I think, and why it was so controversial. And, you know, we didn't see a lot of that during the Iraq and Afghanistan war. I think, you know, now with the technology, you know, we're seeing that with Ukraine and now with, you know, the conflict over in Israel too. So.
Well, in turn, like I would
Well, my
say
neighbor was
that
just saying
the
that, you know,
reason
the
that
media
wait,
showed
what
clips
was the
of
example you gave
Vietnam
prior to Ukraine and
nightly.
Russia? Right, and Iraq and Afghanistan. So the reason we didn't see Iraq
Right.
and Afghanistan clips is because
Well,
America was the
yeah.
one causing a lot of the destruction. But what we did see in those times were clips of ISIS beheading
Yeah.
people. So those clips I would equate to the Hamas clips, meaning ISIS
Well,
wanted people to see those beheading clips, and
I could
Hamas took
be
what ISIS
ignorant here,
did
but
and
my
put it on
perception
steroids to
is that
another level.
Hamas and ISIS, you know, you can change the name, but they're all the same group of bad actors at the end of the day. There's not really any difference.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which is why I would equate the pictures on the screen for, ISIS and Hamas,
What do you think of
because of
you know the
the
US
brutality that they
response
wanted the world to see.
to you know Israel's conflict? I don't know if you've gotten the chance to watch this, but Lex Fridman did a very good interview with Jared Kushner that's about 3 hours long. I'm only halfway through it, but I highly recommend that you or anyone else go and you know watch it. His whole kind of perception was that if his father-in-law were still in office, this wouldn't be happening. And also that all of the work that you know he did on the Middle Eastern peace accords just kind of got wiped, you know, just kind of got undone.
Well, that's
Sure.
kind of devastating to think about because, I mean, I don't disagree. Again, I want to stay in my lane and not like politically pundit just because that's not what I do so much. Again, as a citizen on the ground, we were a lot of people were grateful for Biden's visit and grateful for his strong words of support, confused about why he automatically is giving aid that will most definitely end up in the hands of Hamas while they're still holding our hostages.
Yeah.
And just beyond that, I have to say that I just don't know enough about what's going on behind the scenes to really have an opinion because we really don't know what kind of details they know or don't know. What I will say is no matter what entities are kind of moving the pieces of this war because of geopolitics and drama and all that stuff. While there may be pieces moving on the top, what we're focused on the ground is that we're still facing way too many people, just people across our border who want us dead and will go to very great lengths to achieve that. So on the ground, we all have husbands, brothers, fathers, sons, cousins, friends who packed up all their stuff, grabbed their uniforms 2.5 weeks ago, flew out the door, and haven't been
Yeah.
home since, with their wives at home and their babies at home, and most of the country's men are out. So on the ground here, we're so focused on supporting them I mean, I've never seen anything like what's been going on here in Israel on the ground in the last 2.5 weeks. The mothers of Israel have literally fed the army. We have fed the soldiers every single night. We just send tons and tons and tons and tons of food all around the country, home cooked food, with thousands and thousands of letters of support from our children to the soldiers. No army in the world could have been prepared for the kind of call up Israel did overnight, with 300,000 and then another 60,000 reservists instantly called to the front lines to defend our country from a horrific attack. And the mothers of this country and the children of the country and the teenagers of the country, every single person is mobilizing with whatever personal skill set they have to be able to contribute to the effort of ensuring that our nation lives and that our nation continues and that we survive all the aggressors who are trying to
Right.
wipe us out. So, you know, whatever happens with the politics of it, like we don't have control over that, but we do have our control over the local efforts that we're making to contribute and
Yeah,
and
and
using our voices. Every single one of us has a voice to speak out for good in the face of absolute waves of evil. So, you know, I see as my personal mission, use my voice to spread the good and the
Well,
light,
and you know,
and use my
you're
personal
doing a damn good
skill
job of
set in the
it, you
local
know,
community to be
too.
able to
And like
contribute
I
however
said,
I can
your
in that way as
Substack,
well.
I think, is you know, pretty phenomenal. I know you cover a lot of you know, COVID stuff too, which ironically is what got me canceled off YouTube, that and the January 6th stuff. So Yeah.
So yeah, ironically, I mean, you and I know each other way before my Substack started. You know, that really just started because I was so angry about the COVID response by the governments all around the world, and my own family and friends got really sick of
And
hearing
it
me
took
rant about
off. I
it.
mean,
So I'm
you
like, all
have
right, I'll
like
just
I
put it down
think
on
10,000,
electronics and maybe somebody will
you
want to read
know,
it.
readers now.
I'm so grateful for that. I don't even understand it. I like laugh about it. I'm like, I don't understand why people care like about my brain farts that go on the paper. But it's like I'm so honored by it. I did pass 10,000, and then when I kind of shifted gears to Israel, I said to my husband, I said, before I posted my most recent. Tightening the group of readers.
I think we might be losing your audio a little bit. So, oh, okay, you're back. So,
Oh no.
you know, I don't want to keep it for too much longer. Any final thoughts? What do you think the US reaction needs to be kind of from the leadership, if you were to say one thing.
In a dream world, we would be so. That's what I would say. And we are grateful for the support we've had so far. A good I guess, decent and have shown themselves to, for whatever
All
reason.
right, well, I think that answers all my questions that I had. So, any final plugs that you want to make or anything like that? All right.
Nah, you I really appreciate you having
Absolutely,
me on and just
anytime.
letting
So,
me tell my
thank you for
story and
joining
be able
us,
to
and
converse, have a
we'll
conversation about
definitely
it.
stay in touch because I hope everything goes well there. But thank you for doing this, and folks, thanks for tuning in, and I'll see all of you on Wednesday evening. So, thanks for tuning in, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.